What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Welcome to Self-Helpless, everyone. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
And oh my gosh, today's guest, I'm hoping I can even say words today because I'm a little starstruck. Today we have, okay, successful entrepreneur, podcaster, CEO, author, public speaker, wife, mother, the whole shebang, Kathy Heller is here today.
Yes.
Yeah, so good about myself.
You should.
I appreciate it so much, and you're all so pretty, and you wind up being like really easy to talk to and normal, and I just feel so happy right now.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you for coming. It's really
a cool idea for a podcast, and when I heard that you guys were doing this and all the incredible people you've had on, and I love that there's like these fierce, hot, smart women who speak out about what's really going on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that the world needs that. So,
thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Gold stars all around.
Thank you.
So, I'll tell a little bit how I found you. So,
deep breaths.
Yeah, I know, right?
You got this.
Oh, God. Okay.
You gonna hold my hand?
So, I'm a huge fan of your podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job. And I had been a stand-up comic for about 6.5 years, as well as having a day job that I didn't really like. No. And I just felt really lost and was in that whole spiral of like, this is what I should be doing. And I didn't want to do stand up full time, but I didn't want to have a day job full time. And I had always had this hobby or this little side business that I had that was always like fun and that I loved and I just enjoyed doing. And people would buy stuff from me, but I never took it seriously. I never thought that that could be my full time job ever. So when I was really at a crossroads of like, I'm so unhappy and so miserable doing what I'm doing, this is not what I love anymore. What the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
And so I started searching for like entrepreneurial podcasts and articles and just like, I need examples of people who have been to the other side and done it successfully and who have felt what I'm feeling. And I stumbled across an episode of your podcast and I'm like, holy shit, this woman did exactly, like basically I felt like you,
right.
I connected to you immediately. And then all the people that you had on, the same kind of story,
yep.
like the same formula. And I basically plugged that into my own life. And as of a few weeks ago, I left my day job to do what I love full time.
Yay,
and I turned my hobby into my full time business.
That's so incredible.
And I attribute,
what is that? What is
oh my
thing?
God! So
okay. Brace yourself. She's been skirting around it. I keep waiting. I'm like, what is it though, Delaney? Are you gonna tell her?
Okay, so it's a gag gift business. It's called Dicks by Delaney, and I make hand painted penis caricatures on ceramic coffee mugs.
Oh my God.
We need a picture. I'm gonna pull up the picture.
Yeah. So basically, people send me a picture of their favorite celebrity or character or loved one, and I turn them into like a penis caricature.
Oh,
it's all hand painted.
Here's the one she did of me. So do you see how like
so cute?
How like the boobs are technically like supposed to be the balls?
I get it.
You know what I mean? I don't know that I even need to explain that much. But
so this is what
they're like beautiful. Look at something so simple. It's
yeah.
Like, and this makes you happy.
It makes me happy.
And it probably because it makes you happy, and that was like really true.
Yeah.
That clearly is going to make other people happy because you leaned into that thing that you felt called to do. And look how excited you are about that.
Yeah, I'm very, like, made one for Conan. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's how like legit her business is now, is like fucking Conan O'Brien, dick mugs.
But, you know, I knew this was like, that's the path I wanted to take, is like, how can I make this hobby into a business, and where do I even start? And so I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I had no idea how to get there. And I attribute so much of what you do and your podcast to being able to get to where I am now. And it's been about probably 6+ months to kind of from like start to finish of crafting everything.
And it's only been 6 months.
And it's only been 6 months. And I would
Conan
say
O'Brien is
yeah, that's because of Taylor. She was on tour with him, so all my friends are helping. But
he loved it. He thought it was so cool.
It was just great. And because of the following of the podcast, basically once I announced that I was going to be doing this full time and putting all my heart into it. Yeah. Overnight I had orders and stuff, so it was, you know, the podcast is a huge reason
that's
why it's
really
only
cool.
Taken 6 months, because I know it can take several years, but now I'm in this place where I'm already trying to figure out how I can scale it. I'm looking into equipment for basically laser printing so I can make more in a day.
Amazing.
So anyway, I just want to thank you.
Amazing.
Because
it's explosion.
And I was like, and I was listening to your podcast so much thinking, oh my God, I have so many questions, but it's about this dick business.
Right. And,
I don't know
that when I was sitting there about to do this podcast, I was like, maybe there's a girl somewhere in the world who wants so much to draw a penis and put someone's face on it, and I could help her go ahead and do it. And the fact that those are now all over the world, sitting under Christmas trees, wrapped up with a bow.
Yes.
Someone's going to open that on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Because the fact that I have something to do with that.
Yeah.
You're
doing
like
the
Lord's
Santa
work.
Claus.
You are.
You're
my Santa
really
Claus.
Yeah. It's amazing how you just really brought it all to life. But I'm really happy for you, because that enthusiasm that you just, I mean, it was all over the room, right? We all felt that.
That energy is palpable.
So enthusiasm lights up in the brain stronger than compassion, stronger than lust, stronger than anything.
Mm.
That's where we all want to be. We're all living for that. For the moment when you're like, you have to see this show. Or, oh my gosh, I just did this thing last weekend. You have to try this thing. That enthusiasm. And really, so often, it's so simple and it's so subtle. Like, just leaning in to whatever it is that is, for some reason, like, pulling you towards something.
Yeah.
I think the whole job that we have as people is just to learn to allow and to stop resisting where you're being pulled. Like, all of a sudden the resistance comes in with the, well, who am I to do that? Or how would that even happen? The how is always going to be this big fuzzy sort of kaleidoscope that's hard to understand, and there's never going to be a printout that's like, hey, Kath, first you're going to make a left turn, then you're going to call this person, then you're going to use a hashtag like this, and then you're going to use an email subject line like this, and overnight you're going to... No one gets that printout.
Right.
Yeah. All you have is some feeling, and then you have this courage to just go toward it.
Yeah.
And then you will be led to what that is leading you to. Like, it might have been for somebody else that they feel so, for some reason, they want to lean into like throwing this party, and then they realize that they love making pie, and then the pie becomes the whole thing. There's a mercy to the universe. It's merciful. Like, it's leading you there for a reason. Like, look how excited you just got about that.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to work. Because when you're that lit up, your brain's going to start to give you, like, all of these ideas and info and insight. And it's so cool to see that happen for people. And I think that's when we're in the flow. Like, I think for each of us, there's a current that is our current. And we could find it if we just allowed. Like, we take ourselves out of the flow constantly. I have conversations with people all day long, and they're telling me with such clarity exactly what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then they argue for their limitations. I spend the whole conversation.
Wow.
They're of course I'm not going to do that. Let me tell you why. Of course I can't do that. And then I'm like, you're arguing for that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you.
Right.
Just if what if the how isn't known by anyone, and we just kind of accept that? And what if just allowing that to be what's pulling you? Because that if that enthusiasm is what lights up strongest in the brain, then maybe that's a clue that God or the creator of the universe, or even if you don't believe in God, the fact that, like, if you have a car, there's certain gas that pushes the buttons better for that. It's a hunk of metal. Clearly, like, it's not about having a divine relationship, right? But a car runs on certain things. If your brain literally lights up with something that's enthusiastic about some feeling, I think that that's a sign that, like, that's how you push the buttons to get your, whatever your vessel, your vehicle, whatever you came to do in this world, like, maybe it's just as simple as, like, we need to allow and we need to lean in.
Yeah.
And also I think it's about putting your shoulders back. And when you own that and you are that enthusiastic about something and you stop apologizing for why it can't be you or why you're not the one to do it or teach it or start the podcast or press publish on the blog or make the mugs, and you just lean in and you just do that, other people, they buy your enthusiasm and they get on board.
Yeah.
So,
Oh my God, I'm so motivated.
I know.
You got to start a podcast.
I forgot I was even part of this podcast for a second. I just felt like I was like watching a TED Talk, and I just was so intently listening to you and trying to like soak every second of that in.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because, Kathy, like you're saying, like, there was so much resistance. Like, I had this little hobby that I liked doing that always worked, that people liked. And even if I was at a party and I'm like, oh, I just did a set on TV for whatever, I'm doing a cool show, they're like, but what about the dick mugs? Are you still doing those? And it was like, it was right in front of my face the whole time. But because I enjoyed it, because it felt not easy, but it just felt like, this can't be the thing because I love it too much, and it's fun, and work
what
has to be
that?
Shitty, right?
Right.
I have to hate what I do. It has to be hard. It has to be hard.
Yeah. Like, we recently had Danielle Laporte on my podcast, and she's like, how about let it be easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about it's not supposed to be hard?
Exactly.
How about when you're gripping and you're forcing and you're holding on tight? How about maybe that's you not allowing something? Maybe that's actually an indication that you're going off the flow. You're now like going somewhere that's not meant for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to have the podcast. I started it in my closet 2 years ago, and I wanted to do this really honest transaction of like saying something that maybe someone would metabolize and put down those very I don't know what the word I wanted to say is, like, this constant stream, this like fixation on what they can't do, what's been modeled for them.
Yeah.
And maybe they could just start walking toward it. And I think part of it is, and I talk about this all the time on the show, but it really just keeps coming up for me as something that just can't be said enough. I think part of it is having the courage to make mediocre things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the biggest things I've figured out that really I need to share is, like, can you allow yourself to, like, make six things before you like evaluate it and decide that you're horrible at it? Like, did Ed Sheeran write like songs 1 through 15 and were they all great? Like,
exactly.
Does anyone do that? Like, what standard? So that's part of it, is like, can we surrender to the creative process and stop criticizing ourselves? There's always going to be a gap between what you're going to make in a moment and what you can identify as being brilliant.
Yeah.
Right.
So can you like let yourself like really just journey through and make mediocre things and then make more brilliant things and all that stuff?
Yeah,
exactly. That's hitting home so hard. Yeah. Right
now. You can't build on it if it's not there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing to kind of move toward if you haven't even made that first initial thing yet.
Right.
Yeah. And that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. Have you read The Artist's Way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had Julie Cameron on my podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh my god, what does she smell like? Artist's Way is like my like creative
Bible.
I've read it,
it is like
and
a Bible.
Worked through it probably at least 25 times.
That's
like,
a lot of times.
Like over.
I've only done it like 2 times, but they were both really life-changing for me. And
yeah.
Talking to her was, she's like a minister. That's what she's like. Yeah, she's very plugged in.
Yeah.
And I said to her, all right, just for a second, I just want to really know, do you think everyone is creative? Or do you think there might be a person who you're sort of leading down a rabbit hole? And I really...
That's a great question.
I want to know, like, what's really there for her. And she said, it's everybody's divine right to be creative. Like, we are all creative. She's like, have you ever walked into a preschool and seen a child... who's not playing with pain.
Crunching the numbers.
I don't know about that.
Sitting in like a...
We're using too much blue crayons, guys. Running low.
Like, is there ever a kid who's like, unless I know that mom will put this one on the fridge.
Right.
Probably, no. Like, you're going to...
Yes.
You love it. And so she, that was her whole thing. Is like, we all, if we could get back to that place.
Yeah.
And let yourself be messy.
Yeah.
And that is something she said. She's like, have you ever seen anyone painting and there's not a mess? Like, that, again, there are two pieces of the creative process, but we wind up doing them at the same time, and that's a mistake, which is if a director is going to shoot a movie, you know, they're going to shoot every scene as many times as they want. They're going to try different angles. They're going to maybe try the line read a different way. And then they're going to edit later.
Yes.
So, but most creative people are like, okay, I'm doing my vlog, or I'm writing my set, or I'm writing a song, or I'm sitting at the potter's wheel, and oh my God, like, while I'm doing it, I'm editing it, and it's not working, and it's like, because that's not how it is.
Yeah.
Like, those are two separate phases of the process.
Yes.
And there's not even enough data, usually, for you to even assess and edit anything. It's
right.
It's like, you've done it, like, once or twice, and you're already, it's like, the cake is in the oven, so wait the full 32 minutes before you take it out, as opposed to taking it out at minute 12 and you're like, this is sticky, this is it's not done, it's not even it's not even close to being ready to be assessed. Like, and while you sort of go through it, it's like a cat with like a ball of yarn, and you follow the string, and you go this way, and then it winds up that that ball of yarn is, like, hidden under the door in the pantry, and you find it. You find where you need to find, and sometimes on the way this way, you're led to something totally different.
Yeah.
And it's all great. And we live in this, like, I think we don't feel comfortable in that unknown, and everyone's always asking you to define who you are. You know, at 18, what are you enrolling in? What are you going to do with your life? But are you alive? Are you, like, a living, breathing creature who gets to decide in the moment? Like, I don't feel called to do that thing anymore. And I know I promised somebody or told someone, or I think my parents told me I was good at this and not good at this, but I think I want to discover more about myself. Or there's not enough pauses on, like, checking boxes and writing down answers so that we can actually be led to... There's so many gifts that people have they don't even discover, because there's a fear around looking at it even. And I think what happens is, as a child... either it's modeled for you that life is not supposed to be about being fulfilled and happy, and that you have to give that up at some point. Like sometimes you're told that. Yeah. Or sometimes for all of us, I think by the age of like 8, we've all gotten our hearts broken. You know, someone smashed you to pieces.
Right.
Either it's your father or your mother or someone else, or you did something where you were vulnerable and creative and it really didn't pan out and you got rejected. So you tell yourself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be vulnerable. I won't want for anything. I'll lower the stakes and I'll settle a lot, and that'll free me from ever getting my heart crushed.
Exactly.
And that feels so awful when you live in that space. It's not what you think it will be.
How much courage does it take to say to yourself or to your partner or your best friend, like, I really want this thing.
Oh my God.
I could get hurt now, right?
Yeah.
What if I get on to the court and I miss? And I make something that's ugly. Like, can I even handle myself? Like, what if you can? Like, what if that is the right? Like, that's part of the Instagram problem is that in 1983, you didn't know what, like, Susie was doing 4 streets away. But now you don't know, but you think you do. And it looks like everyone has it together. So you're like, but I just made something yucky. And that girl's making things that are perfect every second. But, like, look at all the failure. Well, you don't see that.
No. Right.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. You know?
Something that you say that you've said on the podcast is something like, you're not being rejected. You're being redirected, which
I love. I love that. Amber Ray said that to me. She was on the show.
Good.
She's like, rejection. It's just redirection.
I love it. And can we kind of get into your backstory on, like, how you ended up here? Because you have such an incredible story. But, you know, starting off, you know, musician to getting your own business, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Your mochas in music, all that stuff.
Oh, she is.
I just, because your whole story, like your personal life and your professional life, is such an incredible example of determination and perseverance and being resourceful and just being smart and not giving up. And I want our listeners to hear about your journey a little bit. So if you don't mind, Kathy, gonna take us back.
Well, everybody loves to talk about themselves. Like, makes you feel so important.
She's like, I don't mind.
But I love when you talk about, like,
1979.
What other people would think of as a failure. You were like, all right, well, how can I get around this? And I want to hear that part.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I mean, in my house growing up, there was just so much pain. My mom was struggling with depression. She was suicidal. My parents had a really yucky marriage. Yeah. I was their therapist. They used to sit me on a couch and be like, let me tell you what's going on in our sex life.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my mortgage. Gosh. Like, you know, I mean, he wants me to give him a blowjob, and I want him to lose weight. And I'm like, is that a thing? Like, did you really? And
so many boundary things.
Man. I would think so. Yeah, it was just kind of gross. Yeah. And then my dad did leave, and then my mom really fell apart. And my mom is a musician, and I really saw what happens when, like, your dreams are dying inside of you. And, like, you are thinking everyone else is going to do it and make you happy. And then that the whole thing that you gave it up for falls apart. So what do you have? And she was like, I have nothing. And, you know, and one day I said to her, like, you can't kill yourself. Like, you have 2 children. Like, hello, what about me? And she was like, you're not enough.
Oh, my God.
Like, I can't live for you. And I was like, oh. So that's it. Like, I always felt that. But, like, it's true. And I think that's why I'm on a mission to be like, you are so enough, by the way. Like, by the by. Aww. Like, everyone's like, I love dogs. I'm a dog person. I'm like, I'm a people. I love people. Yeah. Like, I like stop at a light and look around. And I'm like, this person, I can see it. Like, they need a hug. Or, like, they need to be just reminded, like, I see you. Like, mm-hmm. you do matter. Like, there are people who would be really sad if you were not in this world. And that's just true. I'm not, like, that is true. And I feel like, you know, you go to people's funerals and you hear the things that people say and you're like, they should have told that person while they were here. Yeah. Every person is super significant. I mean, we all have different DNA. Like, you wouldn't be here if there wasn't something you were here to do that only you can do in the way you do it, right? Like, people have said things that I say on my podcast a million times, but there's a way that I say it it's just different because no one's had the exact circumstances that you've had. And so your viewpoint is always going to be different. You're in your story. That's what's, you know. So for me, I think I was on this, like, mission to get out of there. And all that was modeled for me was, okay, I love singing. I love songwriting. Okay, so it's Beyonce or bust. Like, one day I'll be Sheryl Crow or not. And so I didn't know any other way. And I think that's one of the things I try to do on the show is bring on people who have a career. Like, you guys would be an amazing guest. We should book that.
I would love that.
Show people, like, there are so many ways. There's so much in between, like, here and, like, selling out Madison Square Garden. And, like, you will probably get there. But all of that is still just as cool, right? Like, there's so much. So I didn't know that. So I was like, one day I'll figure it out and I will sell out stadiums. And I came out to L.A. and I wanted to get a record deal. And I worked really hard to try to figure that out. I didn't have a trust fund. I didn't even have, like, emotional support, you know, from my parents. They were sort of lost in their own stuff. I got an apartment, got a job, and eventually I did get a record deal, which was amazing. And I was sitting in a recording studio watching Lady Gaga recording Paparazzi and Ron Fair.
I just got goosebumps
on. It was amazing.
That's one of my favorite Lady Gaga songs.
It was amazing. And Ron Fair loves strings. So there was all these, like, it was like this, like, 26-piece, like, string orchestra. I'm your biggest fan. And then you hear the strings come in with, like, the synths.
Oh,
and you hear
God.
This, like, pop orchestra, like, combo. It's amazing. And I'm like, I'm sitting here. I'm wearing my tight jeans. It's all working out. And this woman's like, what do you want from Starbucks? And I wound up getting dropped from the label. And I was driving in my little sob, and then I was sobbing, and he pulled me over. He's like, hey, it's Ron. Can you pull over? I have something to tell you. I pull over. And he's like, yeah, Jimmy Iovine doesn't know that this record is, like, a sure thing. He's like, I don't think it's going to happen. I was like, all right. Okay. And we got off the phone, and I was like, whoa. So, like, what happens when you meet the Wizard of Oz, and he's like, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, because at that point, I couldn't even be delusional and be like, well, one day if that actually happened, this would work out. Because I was there. So I was like, oh, I'll get a different record deal. I'm sure somebody else will be interested. So I wound up through a series of events. I met Craig Kalman at Atlantic Records. He's so sweet. And his son at the time, he was like 8 or 9. He was like, Kath, your music is great. And I want to work with you. And again, that fell apart too. So then I started to get like, oh, I should go get a real job. And so I looked into getting a real job, and I got a job at a nonprofit. And I was like, these people are miserable. Like, it was like, I couldn't stay there. And then I got a job at an interior design firm because I was like, oh, I like being creative. Maybe I'll do something that's more structured creative. But I forgot that I'm not good at drawing or math or anything like that. And I wasn't just about going shopping. So that didn't work out. And then my friend was like, well, if you're not going to do something you love, just make money. And I was like, oh, good. Yeah. She's like, get a real estate license and sell commercial real estate. I know these guys, they're like, it's like a fraternity. Like, you'll go in there, all you do is like meet with investors. And I was like, great. And I did that for like a year and a half. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, this is insane. And I started making money because, like, all of us are pretty good with, like, talking to humans. So that was really my job of, like, take out successful people and talk to them about buildings. And they'd be like, what's the cap rate? I'm like, please hold. I have no clue. I still don't even know what it is. I'd be like, page 14, just look at that. Like, you know, I don't know what the whatever.
Yeah.
And one day I was driving in my car, and it's always in the car, the story. And I pulled over, and I was crying. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I've journeyed through so much heartache that I need so much to do something that really feels like I'm being seen, like I'm here, like I'm doing something that feels like me, like I'm expressed. I felt so invisible so much of my life, and I was determined. And I said to myself, you know, if I was resourceful, is there anything else that I could do to do music? And I do believe in that Rumi quote, you know, what you seek is seeking you. Mm-hmm. And a week later, I was reading Billboard magazine, and there was a whole article about artists that were licensing their music to Old Navy ads and TV shows like Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. And anyway, that's where things really changed. And I said, what if I started to pursue that? And that was actually a moment where things crystallized, because I realized, A, there were other ways to make a living. Mm-hmm. B, I realized we live in a time like no other where I don't need Hagrid or some wizard to come along and like give me a career, like my friend Andy J. Pizza says. Like, he's like, every artist is waiting for Clive Davis or the big break. It's like, that's not actually happening anymore. And also, you don't need it today. Like, you can go straight to, you can use LinkedIn, you can send an email, you can go right onto Instagram and make a community. You can put stuff on Etsy. Like, you can build this yourself. So that was when I started to do that. And then I also realized in that time that making money is value being exchanged for value. And so the difference between a hobby and a business is that in a business, someone else is on board. Someone else is like, oh, I'm going to write you a check. I also like the song. I also like the mug. I also like that t-shirt. I love your set. It makes me happy. I'm going to pay you to be a headliner. Like, it's not just about you making yourself laugh. It's not just about you writing a song about heartache that makes you feel good. It's got to be that we're doing something to serve someone else. And I think a lot of artists get really stuck because they're like, well, why am I going to do the three jokes that everybody likes? I'm going to do my thing. Mm. Well, that's not working. That's
right.
So when we had Seth Godin on my show, he said, at the heart of everything successful is it's one thing. Mm. It's radical empathy. Right? Like, you should care what your customer finds beautiful or funny or interesting, or what sweater, what fabric they like. Like, why wouldn't you care? That's a sellout because you care? Because you're going to make dinner for someone and you want to know what they like to eat? Like, I would think that's really using your gift of making dinner. If you're a great chef, but you can now make something that someone else is like, oh, can you make something vegan? Yeah, why can't I? Wow, that's so great. Now you just went ahead and did something you love doing that you're good at, and then you made it so that this other person can also get on board, you know? Yeah. So I started to do research, and I was like, what are the stories that are being told in these ads and these shows, and can I write my message that's a universal story? And I started to do it. And then I, like she said, because she's such a astute, good listener, you get all the points. I was like, how do I get through? Because so many artists, so many songwriters, like my mom likes to come up with all these excuses because my sister's an actor and I'm a songwriter. And she's like, well, maybe songwriting is just easier. It's just an easier thing than being an actor. I'm like, right. Nobody wants to be a song. It's not competitive at all. It's like super easy.
You know. Many people want to do
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, well, how do I get through? And I just realized it's about, like, I got to come up with something else. So I started emailing the people who choose music for different movies and ads. And first I had to even figure out what that title was. And I realized it's called the music supervisor. And I looked up on IMDb who the supervisors were. And then at ad agencies, who they were. And I started sending them emails instead of saying, like, hey, do me a favor, person who has a job and a dog to get home to and needs to go find a sweater for that holiday party. You know, like, hey, listen to my music. I wound up not doing that. And I was like, what could I have empathy about for them? What would they like? And I quickly made up this thing that said mochas and music. Like, step one, tell me your favorite Starbucks drink. Step two, what day and time should I bring it over? And step three, I'll drop off some music and no expectation of anything. I'll just bring you some coffee.
Oh,
and
so smart.
I sent it to like 60 people. And a bunch of people didn't reply, and some people said, like, no. And I was like, all right. And then, like, 26 or 7 people said, like, you know what? You can bring me coffee. And so I did. And I brought them coffee, and I got 26 placements. My songs were licensed that year. And then
That's amazing.
It was really cool. And then I started making, like, $200,000, $300,000 a year. Like, I would go to the mailbox, and I'd be like, tears with I'd be like, I'm gonna buy a house. Like, that's
God, it's gonna make me cry.
Yeah,
like, I know. Oh,
that's incredible.
I know. It's making me cry.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And that is amazing. Yeah. Especially because, you know, I was just a girl who, like, grew up, like, feeling ugly, feeling unimportant. There was nothing really special. I didn't even have such an awful story that I was special for that.
Oh, my
you know
God.
What I mean?
Oh, God.
Like, I wasn't yeah. even, it, I was just like.
You weren't Eminem. It wasn't like extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was literally just like a kid who felt pretty invisible. And if anyone saw Dear Evan Hansen, like, I just felt like that was kind of like my life. Like, I was just like an average kid who like felt really anxious, like nobody cared. And I wasn't uber talented. I was just like kind of talented. And I didn't have like this horrible story. I was just like this like white Jewish girl whose parents got divorced and had to like move into an apartment and work two jobs in high school. But that wasn't so interesting. And nobody died and nobody's leg got cut off. But like no one was home. And I didn't talk to my dad for like 7 years and my mom was like falling apart. And that's not a sexy story to tell your friends at lunch, you know? So, and then I moved out to LA and just felt like, oh, well, I'll maybe just go do something and nobody will know and I'll settle. And then I was able to make a living and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like I'm making a living. And then we bought a house and I was making money. And then Billboard magazine wrote like a full page story on me and Variety magazine wrote a full page. And I was like, I couldn't believe that this was newsworthy. And I figured out that in life, it actually doesn't take much to stand out. Because what I realized is all of those people who I was reaching out to, I was one of the only people who reached out the way I reached out. You know, like the radical empathy sort of carried through. And I would have conversations with the supervisors like, I would follow up like, so what happened with your kid? Or and I just wanted to. I cared or I liked it or they were easy to like. They were real music fans. They didn't have the glory of like, you know, they didn't roll around and they're like fancy. They just liked music and they would I liked them and they liked me. And that's simple. And I was also busy trying to solve a problem for them. And I was really appreciative. And every time I'd get a song place, I'd send like cupcakes or something to their office. And I'd be like, I really thank you so much. And anyway, that wound up growing. And I thought, you know, how else can I serve? Like, it's always sort of fun. If money is like value, exchange for value, it's right there. Like, we all have this ability so much to give. And money is just a symptom. You know, either you're a horrible person, right? You could be a liar, SOB. That does happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a sign that, you know, you figured out how to do things that make people happy. You know, you figured out how to provide value for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, what else do I feel like? How else can I serve? Because I really do think all my songs have that kind of message anyway. I have a song called Let Your Color Shine about how we each are unique. And anyway, I wound up looking into like, what else could I do? And I got all these emails from artists saying, can you sign me? Can you pitch me? Can you help me? And for a while, like with your mugs, I was just like, why would I do that? Like that's not what. And I actually thought that if I became a business person in the music business and I was doing business and not just my art, that I would be less cool or something and people wouldn't like me anymore. And I resisted it. And then I was like, why am I resisting it? Let me just do it. And I started helping artists. And I realized that I loved helping artists start to think bigger, not just about themselves. I realized that every record that they would send me, I'd be like, I can't use this. Like, you're sending me heartbreaking love songs. Like, have you done the research to figure out, like, who are you writing for? What project are you writing for? And I could help them. And I started helping other artists make money. And that was amazing. And then when I was pregnant with my third daughter, somebody called me. She went to Berklee School of Music and she heard me on somebody else's podcast. And she's like, can you teach a class? Like, can you teach a class? And could you teach it online? Because I'm not in LA and I don't hear you speak, because I was doing a lot of speaking. And I didn't know anything about online classes, but I was like, I guess I could figure out. So I figured it out and I'm very naive, which helps a lot. And so my baby was due in September and it was June. I was like, maybe I could figure out by July how to like launch an online course. I launched a course to teach songwriters how to break into music licensing, which is what I do, which is like such a specific thing.
Yeah.
And the class, it made $1.4 million in a year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. And what was even more amazing is that I built this huge like family community. Artists were like, you're the only person out here in this jungle who like cares, you're actually saying real things and it's helping me. And then one at a time, artists were like, this one got a spot in a Starbucks ad, this one got on a TV show, this one got a trailer in a movie. And I was like, oh my God, I'm people would like bother, you don't understand. You helped me make three shifts and like I wrote a song, I love the song, and so does so-and-so, and now I'm able to like take this vacation. Or and one after another, somebody got a T-Mobile spot, Kellogg's, like, and somebody else was doing, you know, this big scoring job all of a sudden for a big movie, and it was so fun. And one of the students in my class said, why don't you have a podcast? Like, this is relevant to everybody else. And I was like, I don't know. And my daughter had now been born, and she was like 2 weeks old. And I'm like, all right, I'll just go in the closet, I guess. I'll record a show. And we started it 2 years ago, January 2017.
Wow.
And we just hit 4 million downloads of the show.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
And I don't really know what the F is happening. Like, I'm just, I feel like I'm talking so much.
No, this is why
we have you on. We want to hear your story.
I do feel that everybody, it's so much easier than we think.
Yeah.
But it is about the stepping up and being willing to make things even when they're not perfect. Like, mm-hmm. every one of those things that I did, the songs in the beginning when I was writing and sending stuff to Grey's Anatomy or One Tree Hill at the time, they were mediocre. It wasn't a yes. It was an almost. Mm-hmm. But then I would take the feedback and I'd be like, cool, answer key. Great. What do I need to know? As opposed to like, forget it. I'm horrible, yeah. which means you don't get it or I don't get it. You know, it was like, yeah. So I stayed in that, and that was not easy. But I remember I'd go to the studio and come back and I was like, look, if that was like my last day, I just had such a good day. You know, like it just was, I enjoyed. I recently was watching Fred Astaire with my kids and I was like, that's greatness. Mm. You know, like we've lost the understanding that there's a reverence for the work. Like look at people who you love in comedy. Like it shows in their act how hard they're working. Yeah. You know, like. We should see it not. I mean, I've heard Bill Burr say this so many times. He's like one of my favorites.
Oh, you're at his network right now.
Oh, yeah. Love you so much. I'd be like totally starstruck. But I've heard him say, like, he's like, this wasn't overnight. He's like, this is like a 27-year like slow incline, you know. And people don't, they don't. When I see someone perform like that, or like Justin Timberlake, the first thing I think is like so talented. And the second thing I think is this person had the courage to keep going, work so hard,
yes,
and really become great. Mm-hmm. And I think that we all need to get that. And so there was that. There were also things I tried along my journey that completely failed. I had tried to write a book at one point on music and the music business, pitched it to a bunch of people, nothing, like crickets. Mm-hmm. At one point I was writing music for Disney and I got introduced to the Jim Henson Company and they were like, oh, let's do a TV show. And we worked on it. We had this incredible set of people involved, and it completely didn't go any. It was like, it was a failure. And all along there were things I tried where I kind of knew in my gut that wasn't really what I wanted to do, but I was pushing it. And anyway, when it wouldn't work out, it was like, well, that's actually good. You know, it's gonna lead me to whatever I really am supposed to do. I think that the world is merciful. I think you get led to where you're supposed to be. And I think we had Jenna Fisher on the show, and
oh my god, you're just killing it. All the buttons.
The people that are ultimately like a big reason why I started stand up is Julie Cameron and Jenna Fisher, because Jenna Fisher recommended The Artist Way.
Yeah, talked about it when she was on.
Yeah,
and
this is
I love her so much, and she talked about how like you're basically, you need to be building the engine while you're flying the plane.
Yeah,
and how before she had gotten cast in The Office, literally the year before, she was with her friends, who at the time was like just a friend, like Jason Segel was like just like her. These were like her friends.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, just like whatever. And she said to everybody, she's like, we're not getting enough work, and we need to work, so let's write our own movie. And they created a mockumentary that's literally the same style as The Office, where it was a crew of people working in a nonprofit where you'd like see the camera purposely hidden behind the like blinds. Like,
yeah.
It was literally the idea of The Office, but she had never seen The British Office or anything. Oh, wow. They just made that up.
Yeah, crazy.
Sent it to a film festival. Cut to, she gets asked to like come in audition. And when she got the call, she was like, okay, this is so weird.
Yeah.
If this is the role I'm auditioning for, like, I've been playing this role for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
The casting director was like, okay, so here's the note. Don't wow me. Like, come in and, like, really, like, just be normal. So she's like, okay. She's like, if this is what the part is, I'm going to crush it. If it's not what the part is, I'm going to look like an idiot. Because she wore pants that she had worn when she was a hostess at, like, Long John Silver's. She didn't do her hair.
Oh my God.
Put on a stitch of makeup. And she was like, I can't believe I'm walking into the house like this. But if this is what it is, this is
Pam
what
Beasley.
It is.
Yep.
So she walked in. And all they said was, okay, we're going to put you on camera and we're going to ask you a question as if you're the character.
Oh, my God.
And we just want you to answer. So they go, do you like working in this office? And she said, she just looked at the camera and just took a really long pause and just went, no. And that was all she did.
Oh, my God.
Because she realized that that character would be so much more about what the character doesn't say than what it does say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she leaned into, like, I'm really going to trust that, like, if this is what it is, this character doesn't try.
Right.
At all.
Right.
And she got the call that, like, and she said the first table read with Greg Daniels, like, brought everybody in. She was like, there's no, they used to actually meet up in the conference room on Thursday nights to hear what the Nielsen ratings were because they were sure they were going to get canceled, like three shows in. Like, they were sure.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, it just kept going, and she couldn't believe it. And then now, like, she can't go get milk, you know.
Yeah.
But she said that her husband, Lee, graduated from, like, a great, like, theater school. He was one of the best in his class, came out here, boom, 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 boom. Like, nothing was happening. And she said, She's so proud of what he wound up doing, and she tries to help other artists understand. He wound up getting it. He was like, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. There's no validation that this is really going to happen. So one day his friends were working on something, and they needed a writer, and he offered to write it. And there was a huge response for his writing. And instead of still gripping on so tight to the acting, he was like, what if I leaned into that?
Mm.
I never leaned into it because it was just, like, so easy. Like, of course I can write, but I really want to act. But, again, where's the flow? Where is the, you know? And now he's, like, a great indie filmmaker. And she's like, I've seen so many people out in L.A. It's been 15 years. Like, if it isn't happening, you could kick that door as hard as you want.
Right.
And instead of telling people, like, be persistent in, like, where you keep, like, where are you being called? Really persist in listening to that whisper.
Yeah.
But let the how, like you've done, that takes so much courage. I think we're so wanting to be like, here's who I am. I can go to a dinner party and, like, rattle it off to you. Like, this is me. This is what I am. Like, that's such BS, first of all. No one even knows, like, what's next or where they're going or if they're really alive. But to have the courage to pivot. Oh, I just feel like so much of what I've done is, like, just keep doing that, which some people wouldn't do that because they'd be like, oh, I'm going to look like I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
How many things people try and they don't work and you just keep. So.
Yeah, the way you talk about, like, how you just repurposed your dream is so incredible
exactly.
to me of, like, that you didn't go, well, you know, I got several record deals and they didn't pan out, so I guess I'm just not going to be a musician. You're like, well, I'm just going to be a different kind of musician. I'm just going to have this job in a different way. That is so incredible and so applicable to anyone in any field, not just, like, it's no wonder that your podcast is doing as well as it did and that your class blew up like that. It's just, it's so incredible here. And the being comfortable with mediocrity thing is, like, I feel like we don't hear that enough. That hit me so hard. I was in Chicago doing shows this weekend, or Schaumburg, I should say. And I was telling my boyfriend, like, I got back from doing a couple shows that night and I was just like, I'm just tired of not being as good as I want to be yet. And I know I'm going to get there, but it just takes so long.
Yeah.
And the way you're talking about it, about just, like, really being almost, like, joyful about the process of getting through the mediocre period is so inspiring and cool. And like, have you done a TED Talk?
Yeah, you really should. You got to listen to the whisper, Kathy.
Oh, yes. My God.
Or the shout.
But I know. I
mean, like, about your specific examples, people were looking at you being like, you should do a podcast. Have you done a podcast? You should take a class. You should teach a class. All these things, it's like the universe or other people, they see something in you that maybe you don't see in yourself quite yet. And right, okay, so the dick mug thing started off as a joke. I was invited to a holiday party with a bunch of comedians, or like, everybody bring like a handmade gift. We'll do a gift exchange. So I just drew a bunch of colorful penises on a coffee mug, and I thought it'd be just like a funny dick joke, and then I'd leave the party. It was a huge hit. It got stolen, you know, the most amount of times. People were like, who made this? Like, it's just a what? And before I left the party, my friend JC Carias, shout out, he's a very funny comic, he's like, Delaney, if I give you some money, can you make me a set of these for my apartment? And I'm like, sure, I guess, if you really want them.
Yeah.
But it was somebody else was like, hey, you should maybe do this for me. And then a couple months later, word spread that I was doing it. And then I think it was my friend Adrian at the time was like, you should think about like putting these on Etsy and just see what happens. But it's listening to kind 100%. Of what other people see in you.
Yeah.
Because there's so many friends I have that I can see very clearly what they should be doing, and they don't see it for themselves just because there's so much resistance, so many blocks. So it's about listening to kind of what other people say that you're good at. And if you get told the same thing by multiple people, maybe you should look into it.
Yeah, you know? I 100% agree with you. And yeah, I think that people don't go toward it because we overthink things so much. And I think one of the biggest hurdles is this idea of like, well, how would that work? Or how to make a living from it? Or, okay, I don't know how to print a mug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can figure that out.
Yeah. Like, try it out.
I think my friend Emily McDowell, do you guys know Emily?
We just posted a quote from her.
She's amazing. She makes incredible mugs and cups and magnets. And she said she just has a lot to say, and she's a great illustrator.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And she left a job being like at the head of her game, like as a creative director in advertising, and her friend died of cancer, and her friend's like, you're not happy, and I'm not getting out of this, but you can.
Wow.
So you should go do something. And she said to herself, you know, all I like to do is like doodle, like, but I don't know if that's like a job, but I think because you're dying, I'm going to go see about the doodling. So she took some time off work. And she made a card that was for you'll appreciate this because you guys are funny. She made a card for Valentine's Day that was like, when you're dating someone, but you're not really dating, but you're kind of talking, but you're not talking, but you don't want to call it anything. Yeah. But like, it is a thing, but it's not a thing. So it was like, hey, it's Valentine's Day, and I know we're not anything. And like, there's not even a heart on the card, but I just wanted to like acknowledge you, but I don't want you to feel weird about it. Okay, forget it. Just forget it.
That's what it says.
Brilliant. He made the card. She showed it to a friend.
Yeah.
And her friend was like, it's the single greatest card I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so-and-so, you know, she sells cards, and she's going to that trade show, and she has a booth, and, like, you should just sit in her booth and, like, put the card out. And she's like, you're insane. Like, put the card out. Like, I don't know anything about trade shows. Like, it doesn't even have, like a plastic wrapper. Like, it's a card. She's like, just go to the thing. And then she goes to the thing, and, like, her friend has, like, all the things, and she has, like, a card. Mm-hmm. And Urban Outfitters was walking the floor, and they were like, did you make this? And she's like, my friend stopped. And no, this one Valentine's Day card. Yeah, I made that. Can we have $30,000 worth of card?
And she was like, oh my gosh,
right on top of that, Rose. And then was like, how do I make a card? What do I do? So she like figures out how to print them, and then she tells the printer, yeah, just drop them off at my apartment. Cut to like the scene. She literally couldn't walk in her apartment. That's how big the boxes are. Like, she didn't know what she was doing. She's like, I think I need to rent a ware. Anyway, cut to she has a multi-million-dollar business, and she's made thousands of things, and she says incredible things. Like, she had a post recently, and it was a doodle of a Xanax, and it says, now comes in pumpkin spice. Like, everything she says, so you would creative. Just love her. She's so creative, and she's so good at, like, talking about, like, things people really feel and being vulnerable. And she made something called empathy cards, which did really well. But why I brought her up is because she said the how is always going to be, like, this big ball of, like, cloud, like you just can't see through it. Yeah. She's like, all you need to know is where you feel inclined to go, like what's feeling right,
yeah,
and a place to put your right foot. And then the how unfolds.
A leap
and
in the net will appear.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning, but I think that's why people stop. It's like, I don't know how.
Yeah,
you don't nobody have to does. Do anything. And then, no one knows that. Like, I walked home from the hospital. Out of the hospital with my daughter, the first, I'm like, why are you giving her to me? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I have no clue how to change a diaper. I've never babysat. Yeah. Like, I'm crazy. You know, and you figure it out. And it's like everything is like that. And there's so much momentum that comes. The clarity comes from the doing of things, right?
Yeah.
So I've always been, I was always a C student. And I never had an expectation to get it right. And I think that really helped me. You know, my sister, she was like in honors classes, and her Barbies would sit in the box, you know, and my Barbies, like, I cut the heads off the Barbies. Like, I wouldn't know. Even to this day, like, I'll buy jewelry and I'll be like, I don't know where that was a great watch. I have no idea where I left it. But I kind of like, I see that, like, I'm willing to have that collateral damage for the bigger thing, which it gives me, which is it's okay to kind of like, go into things not having the answers. Okay, you're not going to be brilliant. I look back at our first season. We just finished season two. We just finished, I guess, 120 episodes. Like, the first season, it's hard to listen to. You know, like, I didn't know what my perspective was yet, but Like, have the courage to, like, show up. If I could get everybody who's listening, like, just go start showing up. So put something on Etsy. Okay, so you don't have 17 pieces and you only have one. Put up a picture of that one thing, because it will lead you to something else.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how this, I have to do it right and I have to know how, is so big that it paralyzes us and keeps us from doing the thing that I think will make us happy and doing the thing that I think the world needs from us. You know, I think we can. I am on this like sort of mission, because while everybody else is, you know, planning rallies and creating all of this like resistance movement, and I personally have always felt before this administration, always, that like the way you can light up your corner of the world is like, make yourself the happiest version of you. And like, if everybody on the block, like, this one started making her pie and this one's making t-shirts and this one's doing yoga and this one's coaching and this one's playing piano, we'd be good. Like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you'd use all that energy where you're like, it's not out there. They're not going to do it for you anyway. Like, that's not the thing. Like, direct it here. And maybe it's as simple as like, you're just going to sleep every night thinking like, I did me today.
I've noticed a huge change in how I am in the world now, because I did not like my day job. It was fine. I didn't hate it, but I was not passionate about it, going through the motions. But even now, just like being able to work from home on my schedule, doing stuff I want to do.
That's amazing.
Just going to the grocery store, I feel nicer to the cashier. Not that I was rude, but I wasn't present. I was just like trying to get through it because I needed to get home and whatever.
Right.
And now I'm just like, oh, I'm here. Like, I see you. How's it going? And I just have a better exchange. So I totally agree with, like, if you just take care of yourself and make yourself happy, that's the best thing you can do for other people, because then there's not going to be a bunch of miserable people walking around being shitty to each other and causing car accidents and doing all these things.
Right. So, and I think that's going back to when you first told your story, you don't have to be like in the Peace Corps or helping to create clean water in Africa to
paint
to
dicks.
Change the world. Yeah. And I'm really and truly like because you being happy, it gives other people permission around you to go, Delaney's happy.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go do what makes me happy.
Right.
And like that is great service to the world, you know?
Yeah.
Genuinely makes the world better.
And how interesting it was when I started, not these people, but when I started telling people like, oh no, my plan is to like leave my day job so I can do this full time. Sometimes the horror, on their faces, but what about health insurance?
Oh,
but
right.
what
That's
about your benefits?
How that is
but
such
what
a
about
thing.
Your pension? What about? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. But I know that this is not the life I want, and I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna change it.
Yeah.
And cut to 6 months later, I discovered that where my boyfriend works, we worked at the same company. I can be his domestic partner, and now I'm on his health insurance, and everything's fine. And I've just figured out all those weird hurdles.
You got resourceful about it.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting about it is. Everyone says that.
Yeah.
What about health insurance?
Yeah.
Okay, so A, I get it.
Yeah.
But what's
totally get
interesting
it.
Is we had a doctor on our show and she said 75% of all health issues, 75% of the cause is stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go back for a
second. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about if you were not miserable all day long and actually had the space and the room to think about and feel into like where you feel called, what you're called to make, to say, to do today, and where that might lead you.
Right.
And maybe that would help you live longer and wind up making more money so that you could pay for that health insurance.
Exactly.
Like it's,
I mean,
I would have figured it out.
I'm
I would like have paid
blown
a lot
away
of money.
By the, but the health insurance, but you're so unhappy. We just have this guy. He's a listener of the podcast. His story, please, there's probably really smart, funny people who listen, but like, if you're going to go write this movie, you have to give me credit because this is a movie. He called me. Well, I just had a podcast with him over Skype, but he wrote in many times. He's like, since the beginning when we launched the show, this is like totally a movie. John C. Reilly would play this part. He was working in a factory that made plastic bags for dog food. His job was to stand and watch the machine and make sure the bags came out on the other end. Like,
do
you want to like wrap this cord around your neck? Like that makes a human being feel like, is my worth?
No.
I stare at a machine that makes a plastic bag for dog food.
Oh my God.
That was
unbearable.
His job.
Unbearable.
Every day, he started listening to the podcast and one day, he was like, he had a day off because he actually used to work night shifts, even worse, like standing all day, all night long. But like sometimes in the days he'd be off, he was looking on Facebook and somebody posted a picture of a cheesecake and he goes, I just need something to do right now. And so he decided, I'll make a cheesecake. And he wasn't good at baking and he failed home ec in seventh grade. He wasn't a cook or anything.
Yeah.
He was like, I just have something to do. I'll make cheesecake right now. I'm just so devoid of anything, right? So he makes a cheesecake. He forgets like there's like a need for like a cheesecloth, whatever. It gets burnt. He does it again, and this time it tastes pretty good. And his wife was like, make a chocolate chip one next time. So like a week later, again, his job is just like so soul crushing. He's like, I'm gonna make the cheesecake again. So he makes two this time, and he puts it on Facebook. He's like, does anyone want to buy this other cheesecake? I'll sell it to you for like $8. And nobody wanted it. And he was like, oh. All right. Yeah, nobody wanted it. So he says to his wife, I'm going to bring it to the fire station because, I don't know, I just have it. So he brought it over there. And a few days later, one of the chiefs calls him and says, did you drop off that cheesecake? He's like, yeah. He's like, so-and-so's having a birthday. Could you make like a dozen of them? And he's like,
wow.
I don't know. I mean, I guess. And okay. So he's like, yeah, I'll pay you for it. They're really good. He's like, okay. So he makes it. And then, you know, it just kind of goes from there. But he wound up like a few weeks later, he was like, he'd take a freezer bag and go into the city and like walk into like a bank and a nail salon and like the doctor's office be like, anyone buy a cheesecake? And people were like, you're very weird. Like, and then some other people were like, oh, cheesecake. So he did that and that started to do its thing. And cut to a year later, he gets fired from his job and it's National Cheesecake Day.
Oh my God, are you serious?
So he writes me a letter. He's like, I got fired. It's National Cheesecake Day. He goes, I came home and said to my wife, what are we going to do? I need health insurance. Yeah. And she's like, I think you're going to go make cheesecake full time.
That's amazing.
And so last Saturday, he opened up his brick and mortar cheesecake shop.
Oh my gosh.
It's called Cheesecake Ninja. He lives in Missouri.
Wow.
Oh my
God. He said to his wife, they have no money to do it. He said to his wife, if we can just make the rent for the first month, I'll do it another month. And like, we'll do it like that.
Wow.
In the first day that they were open, they've only been open a week. Day one. He made triple his rent.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And I'm listening to him talk, and he goes, here's the thing. He goes, I'm not a people person, but I'm happy seeing these people happy. I really like it. It's really fun.
Wow.
And he goes, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a good cook. I think that people like the cheesecake. I'm getting better at it. And he goes, and the local CBS affiliate wrote a story about it, and people seem to be coming. So I don't know what's happening. He goes, but you've changed my life. And I started to cry because, again, it's not epic. It's not like he was this person. He lost his legs in the war and he can't.
Yeah.
He's just a human who deserves to go to sleep and be happy. That is enough. That's even, to me, that's more epic.
Yeah.
Because that's every man, every woman, that's every child's story. You don't have to have climbed Mount Kilimanjaro to be worthy of having a good day.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have an extraordinary mission. You don't have to have a need to be in the Peace Corps. You could be a guy who goes, I don't know. I don't really want to stand in front of this machine anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really just kind of want to like feel like I'm alive. Like,
yeah.
I love that story.
That's
so
great.
I'll
never forget it.
Hearing those stories, and it's what made me want to do the show.
Wow.
And I mean,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's so simple, really.
It's so simple.
I went back and said to him, okay, let's pick the story apart. So when you put it on Facebook, and no one wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll bring it to the fire station.
Yeah.
Good. Because, like, there might be, you put it out, and the first couple times it's like crickets. But then, right?
Yeah.
And then he had the courage to, like, keep doing things, like walking into a bank.
Because
that was the only thing he could think of to do next. But then he did it.
Yeah.
And it's really uncomfortable to be like, hi. And I wasn't looking at you. Like, I'm not holding you up. I just have a cheese. You know what I mean? Like, that's uncomfortable. And he just kept doing the next possible thing he could think to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he didn't stop at the beginning and go, like, oh, I'm going to compare what I just made on day two to an emerald cheesecake.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a big thing in the artist way is people block so quickly by comparing their beginning
got
work.
Those crazy makers
to, yes.
Oh yeah.
Crazy makers.
Yeah. Get me started. But, like, comparing that beginning work to a master's work, it's like you have to remember that that master's work was once a beginner's work. And that's where you should be looking
at.
It's like, okay, like, I am part of a group of people that eventually can become that. But, like, you know, if you compare it to the master right away, it's going to keep people.
That's right. And I think also, you know, he wasn't overthinking. He wasn't overthinking at all. It's just kind of doing the next thing.
Yeah.
And people in town are doing what we talked about with what I think is inspiring about what you're doing is like people are going, look at that guy. He opened a cheesecake shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like,
that's all there is to it. So I love doing this podcast because week after week I sit down with these people and it's just the same ingredients. It's like sort of that ability to get quiet and lean into that thing that makes you feel enthusiastic. We talked about that, how important that is. And then walking toward it without knowing how and being courageous to do mediocre things on your way there.
Yeah.
It's really not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think lately, as I've been finishing my book and just continuing to grow as a person, hopefully is what I'm wanting to do every day, I realize like it's not a business plan. It's not a hashtag. What's going to make you successful is really being yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is it's like that's hard to do. Because it means peeling away the layers of who you were taught to be, who you learned to be,
mm-hmm.
And could you just not try so hard?
Right.
Could you just actually do the things that really feel good and do as much with that as you can?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And put it out and then keep following it and then have the ability to know that ultimately you want to do something that serves with that. Mm-hmm. So you should care what flavor cheesecake everybody likes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a mixture of really being you with the, I think, hope that ultimately you have something to do that's going to just make people feel better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can do that with all of these things, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gosh. That's incredible. I could talk to you for hours and hours. Like,
so sweet.
I just, like...
I'm having so many of, like, my own epiphanies just talking to you and, like, the whole idea of listening and how with your business it was, like, there. And right people were telling you this and you were just kind of just, like, pushing away.
Yeah.
I, before I became a comedian, thought I was going to be a high school math teacher.
Oh, my gosh. That's, like, very different.
Very different. So when you were talking about, like, the about turn and the 180, like, I was... And I loved math, but I also was choosing that career from, like, a very, like, insecure and just wanting a very safe job. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the place I was at. I was like, I just want to be a high school math teacher at the high school I went to and have, like, no risk in my life.
Right.
Just this little bubble. And I got, like, 2 years into college. I was in, like, Calculus 3, and I just was hating it. And I realized, like, this is not bringing me joy. And there was just something kind of happened to me, and I... switched to a communications major, but I didn't really know why. Like, I was like, I like the idea of TV and doing something that's more personable, but I don't really know what yet. And then I took a public speaking class, because you had to, and it was in the summer. It was like me and like 18 foreign exchange students, and you had to do all these public speaking assignments, and I kept turning mine into like comedy skits that like didn't need to be. Like, you had to give a eulogy, and I ended up giving my eulogy of myself as delivered by like a crazy aunt. And I would show up to class like in costume. I was not this person. And like the professor pulled me aside after class one day and was like
so brilliant.
This is more than, he's like, you remind me of like Kristen Wiig or something. Like, you're clearly enjoying this so much. Yeah. Why aren't you doing something with this? You should keep going.
I
like
love that.
You know, this is
and
really
he was so kind to,
so
like,
kind
notice gosh, it and then like mirror that back and kind of give you that permission to like take a look at that,
because I felt so alive doing these assignments for literally like again 18 people who probably didn't even understand what I was saying. But I just was enjoying it so much, and then that led to me listening to Jenna Fischer on some sort of, I think it was a radio interview. And I was just a diehard Office fan. And she talked about how the book The Artist's Way had changed her life. And I picked up The Artist's Way. And one of the first exercises is she has you write your 5 imaginary lives. Mm. And my first one was, I'd want to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And then the next exercise is like, what's one step you could take to fulfilling that dream? Mm. And I went to an open mic. And it's been 10 years.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy how it's like, you're right, it's always the same ingredients and all those stories, like just people telling. Like, I started in high school because my dad wanted to take a comedy class, and like was going to college and like wanted to, I think I wanted to be a teacher also, and I was like, I'm gonna get my degree. And very slowly it was like, first my parents were like, just take a year off and see what happens. I'm like, you're supposed to be my parents, like you're supposed to want me to be successful. And then just slowly, like, you know, agents saying you should go out for this or you should do that, and me being afraid to email the agents about it because I'm like, I'm not good enough. And other people in comedy just going like, you know, you're good, and if you don't do it for a living, it's your own fault. So you just need other people on your journey, and you have to pay attention to it rather than dismissing.
Yeah, and I think you just hit on one of the big pieces. Is I think people have said it on my show in so many different ways, but we had this woman on, Jessica Huey, and she said it just really succinctly, and I got it when she said it. She said the greatest obstacle between where you are and where you want to be is your belief in how possible it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what energizes us, what gets us in motion, what helps us even like start, your brain will start give you ideas of what to do when you see ahead of what you believe is possible. Even if you wind up falling short of that, or even if it winds up taking you this way, just seeing something like maybe I do want to be Kristen Wiig, and like walking toward that.
Yeah.
If you believe that that is something that's doable, that's possible, it sort of gets you in motion. And so your ability to believe that it's possible is really huge. And that has a lot to do with when Julia Cameron talks about the crazy makers and the morning pages, is because like she just wants you to kind of brain dump everything that's in there in the morning so that you're aware of what you're thinking. Because what winds up happening is you don't realize it, but 4 months go by and you're like, I didn't do anything. Why not? I don't know. Well, if we could start to literally like free write everything that's playing in there, if what you're constantly hearing is like, Kath, who are you to do this? Well, they're ridiculous. It's never going to happen. That doesn't happen for people like you. You don't have the talent. You don't have it completely zaps you. So what I tell people when they're like, what's your, you know, advice for being productive, or what step is best strategically? I'm like, work on your mind. Like what makes you feel energized? Because we know from research that productivity is not about having more sleep or eating right. Even though those are, I mean, great, important things. We've all had the experience of waking up a morning where like you didn't get any sleep, but you couldn't sleep because you were so excited and you just crush it that day because there's something that really is like just making your soul feel so alive. You know, how many people sleep the night before their wedding, or how many people sleep the night before the first day of school and you can't wait to wear that outfit and show Janine that you got the same high tops and you have the best day and you come home and then you pass out, but you have energy.
Energy,
it comes from a state of mind, which is why there are times when you talk to someone on the phone and you like need a nap afterwards. You're like, I'm completely drained. I'm toast. You know? So those are people not to be talking to maybe as often, or maybe you talk to them when you know you can sort of have extra bandwidth. But I think just like we do with our iPhone, where you like proactively know like when it's going to go to like 8% and you're like, it's on 8. Like I'm literally feeling fatigue. I feel like I can't move. We have to proactively do that with ourselves. And I think that's the piece that people just literally push aside and they're like, no. Again, just tell me, what are the rules of the business? Like, well, this is really the biggest thing. Like what we're all talking about is so much to do with like, what is feeding you? What are you being fed by? So the artist way, she's trying to help you get out from underneath all that stuff that's constantly keeping you small, keeping you stuck. We could be sitting in the same room as we are right now, and we could all be living in a different reality based on how we all see the world right now. I mean, how often are people choosing to look at like horrible videos on Instagram or whatever? They walk around like, the world is horrible. I'm like, I think the world is amazing. I talk to this guy who makes cheesecake every day. Like, you know, it's like what you choose to think of and look at and focus on. We have such control over that. And I think that when you can crack that, when you can really understand that we can grab the wheel, and we can intentionally, proactively figure out, like, once and for all, I'm going to get some awareness around this. Like, when Danielle was on, Danielle Laporte, I love what she said. She goes, I'm so sick of people being like, I'm great, I'm fine. Mm. How about, dear life, I'm petrified. Dear life, I'm not fine. Like, that's the beginning of, like, liberation. Like, notice it. Just please notice it. Like, notice that your father's still talking to you in your bedroom when you were 7, and that's playing all day long. Please, just noticing it does so much. It's sort of my mindfulness teacher used to say, it's sort of like walking into a room, and if the lights are out, you're going to bump right into the furniture. But if you've been in that room 50 times, just the awareness of where the furniture is, you're not going to hit it. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the stuff is there is 70% of the whole game, right? Yes. And then you can proactively, though, suggest other things by listening to someone like Delaney talk about her story, or listening to a great podcast, or reading a book, or doing Julia Cameron's thing.
Yeah.
But you have to be ahead of it. Like, the brain is designed to worry. Mm-hmm. That's how we've gotten. That's how we survived.
Delaney's been talking about that the last couple episodes.
So weird. So we have to proactively get ahead of it. And I do think that it's not as hard as we make it. I think that we have walls up, like, around our heart. Like, I think if you just take a breath sometimes, you'll realize you do want to want things, and you do want to believe in the fairy tale, but you keep telling yourself that it's not going to happen because I think you don't want to get hurt. I think we go back to that, like, I'm protecting myself from ultimately, like, so what? You're gonna get hurt anyway.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to hack this thing called life. Like, you're gonna get hurt. It's gonna be messy.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be great because it's called being alive. And
yeah.
And I think that that's part of it. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to feel pain. And like, feel pain. It's good. It's okay.
Because if you shut out pain, you shut out joy too.
Yes.
It's not,
that's what it is.
Exactly. It's everything. Exactly. You either have to be connected with it, and you might, you know, you'll get both, or you're just not getting anything, and then you don't even feel like you're living. So
what I notice so much now that's just painfully clear is just being around people and how so many of us have been conditioned to think that work has to be hard. Nobody enjoys work, and you live for the nights and weekends, and you live for that 2-week vacation every year. And I just want to be like, no, fucking, it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't.
It does not have to be that way.
No, it definitely
and that
doesn't.
People have accepted that as truth. That is my biggest issue right now, is being around other people who are not seeing this. Thank God I've had these two as an example of, hey, you can do the thing that you love and make money out of it. It wasn't the exact thing I loved, and that was tough because I'm like, God, they love it so much, but there must be something wrong with me. Why am I not liking this more? Mm. So I reached out to people like you to be like, I know that I want to do this thing, but I don't have an example right in front of my face to basically, you know, see how it's done.
Yeah.
And so that's what really helped me. But just having conversations with like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, people are going to say, you know, I don't like my work, but I'm never going to like my work. So what am I, why even try?
That's
like, whatever, you know,
I have a husband, so it's fine. You know, like,
yeah,
the whole idea
yeah.
of like, I'm just happy when I'm home, but I don't have to like my
work.
It's like,
good luck.
Why?
Yeah, no.
Why? That's like, insane. Why live 50% of your life? That's so weird. So weird.
Yeah. Like, 5/7 of your life, you're going to not like.
Yeah.
No thanks. No thanks. But I just, I want the best for my friends and family. And so many of them are stuck in that headspace. And all I can do is just kind of do my thing. And if they're curious, they can ask questions about, how did you get there? Or like, what was your first step? And I am more than happy to sit down with them and talk about it. But you can't really push that on other people until they're really ready. But what I love is like, if you take care of yourself, you might inspire other people. And one of my friends, Nikki, just started making like these really cute, like Minnie Mouse ears in different colors and patterns. And they're so cute. And she was like, one of the reasons I started is because you inspired me and I listened to the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, that is such a nice compliment. I love that. So Nikki, post in the Facebook group your Minnie Mouse ears for people to check you out. I love that. It's like a snowball effect of hopefulness.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Kathy.
Thank you guys for doing what you're doing.
This is like the easiest podcast episode we've ever done. We were just like, keep talking.
You answered all my questions without even asking any questions.
Before we started, you were like, who have your favorite guests been? And I'm like, you are my favorite guest now. Like,
oh my God,
you served Poo Doctor, man.
You did it.
This was.
I don't say that all the time, but
I'm really impressed with what you're doing because there's no pretense to it. There's no, it's not this big, epic, biblical. It's like literally, I feel like we're very in sync, and it's very rare that I like see this happening where people are having an honest conversation for normal people who binge watch Netflix.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily like know how they're gonna like be so sensational. They just wanna be happier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wanna be a little bit like 20% happier, you know?
Yeah.
And find more of what is their work. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And as we're all going into the new year, I feel like we can take away a lot from this conversation. I learned a lot from like listening to each of you share. Like, it's so brave that you're getting up again and again, even when you're not feeling like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That is so courageous. And I love that whole story about how you just...
Oh, thanks.
You dressed up like the crazy aunt giving the eulogy. And I guess that is what I'd want to do. And I feel like for all of you, this is like the beginning. Like really, like I feel like so much is going to keep coming. You're probably going to discover you like making three other things like quickly.
Right.
I think that... Maybe we can just go back to, for the new year, like thinking about like, can you just allow more to go toward, lean in more towards what you're enthusiastic about and trust that maybe that will lead you to something far greater than what people told you is the way it is. You know, it's not like you're going to work really hard, and if you're lucky, you'll make $100,000 working really hard, and you'll be miserable, and then you'll watch repeats of Law & Order SVU, and you'll die. Like, I think it's actually magical.
I agree.
And
well,
I think
a lot
that,
of magic to it.
Yeah, you're doing a lot for the world. I really
can
say
that. Thank you,
too. Thank you, you too. Gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect example of meant to be. Kelsey and I were in Phoenix, Arizona for the All Things Comedy Festival doing a live show. Taylor couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about doing what you love for a living. And I mentioned your podcast and how much I loved it. And then, of course, somebody that knows you was in that audience, Maggie, right?
Yeah.
Came up and said, I work with Kathy closely. You should reach out and have her on. And I was like, oh my God, I'm too scared to message Kathy and ask her to be on the show. She would never, she's too busy. She has this huge show. She was like, I'll let her know that you're going to reach out. So why don't you just reach out to her on Instagram? I'm like, okay, I will. And then I did. And you're like, yeah, she told me all about it. Love to. I'm like, oh my God, Kathy Heller's going to be on the show.
You're so, so sweet.
It's just like that. We could have easily not mentioned that in that moment, but that's where the conversation led. I said, everybody needs to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and now I'm going
to
have you guys on my show.
And
I
holy
can't
shit.
Wait.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
I cannot just listen to you talk for another hour.
I know.
Well, everybody, I'm like, can we just call you later?
Just to give you money. As I know. You need, like, these were services that you provided that I feel like should have been for free. This is
you can just Venmo us.
You're so funny.
Where can people find you? First of all,
where
so
can
our
people
listeners?
Find me? Yeah. So the podcast is called Don't Keep Your Day Job, and you can find it wherever you listen to a podcast or Apple or Stitcher or whatever. And then we have a Facebook group for people who listen to the show. And it's one of the Facebook groups where we do want you to post about what you're doing. It's not like, it's Friday, promote. No, like post constantly. Tell us all the things. Drop your links. We want to be there to cheer you on. It's a beautiful group of supportive makers and creative humans. So you can find us on Don't Keep Your Day Job's Facebook group. And I'm doing a live event March 14th and 15th.
Oh, nice.
Which is going to be super cool. You guys should come speak at my event.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You guys should do it.
I might die.
What's the event?
It's going to be
so cool.
I've asked a bunch of the amazing people who've been on the show to come, and most of them are just like, yeah, and I'm coming. Oh, it's going to be at the Harmony Gold Theater on Sunset. And it's like 2 days of immersing yourself in this conversation and helping people really get unstuck and leave there with like more belief in what's possible and more of a feeling of what to lean into. We're actually, during the 2 days, there's going to be a sound bath. There's going to be some breath work.
Oh,
a couple
man.
Friends who are like all stars in that world. And they've agreed to come fly out and lead us in some stuff that's going to help you actually hear yourself. And
that's amazing. So how do people find information on that?
Go to dreamtopiaworkshop.com. You can get a ticket. And they're not expensive tickets. It's like a 2-day fun workshop. And there'll be incredible speakers there. A lot of people who have books, podcasts, and cool people.
I would love to go. Yes. Yeah, whether we speak or not.
We just want to go.
You guys should, we'll figure it out. We'll talk and decide what you guys can do. It would be really cool.
Oh, my dreams just came true. I think I can retire.
No, you're not.
I'm
you have
done.
So much more to do. Delaney's been working in entertainment for 10 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen her freak out about anybody.
Yeah.
She's just like, John Krasinski's here today, but whatever. I'm like,
That's awesome.
I've gotten to meet a lot of celebrities, but I was like, freaked out when I met you because so you just mean so much to me. So thank you for being
you
here.
You honestly have made me feel so seen. I think that is what everybody wants. You know, everybody wants to feel seen, like they matter, and you guys totally made me feel that way. It's like the greatest gift in the world. You know, I have 3 little kids, so a lot of times I'm just picking up Cheerios, and, you know, like doing carpool, and I forget that there's anything about me that's necessarily special or great. And you complimented my hair too.
It's great hair. But that's why we have the camera.
Hairs and butts. Yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Butts.
That was the pre-convo.
I really, really appreciate it so much. So you have no idea, really. And I think this is the beginning. We can take this. We can be friends now. We can take this next level.
Please.
Absolutely.
My life will be like empty now.
Yeah.
You're not in it. And now that I know you, I'm like, I can't not have you in my life.
But isn't it cool to find people who are like, in on like how to get out of the matrix. Like we figured it out. Like let's just keep.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps expanding by talking about with people who get it. So we will keep it going.
Yes. Yes. Okay, guys, go listen to Kathy's podcast. Don't keep your day job. Go support her. If many of our listeners are entrepreneurs or want to start something, that is a great place to start. Is listen to all those great interviews, great tips. We love you so much. Do you guys need to plug anything or?
I don't want to. I'm like so drained in like the best way. Yeah. I'm just like, hey.
Just go think about what you want to do.
Just lean in.
Go write some things down.
Yeah.
Start there.
And if you haven't done a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, it takes 2 seconds, and we are getting so close to 1,000. And we would really love if you took a second to do that. So thank you guys.
We love you.
All right, love you. Thank Talk you. To you next
Bye.
Week.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, we love you guys so much. To continue to support Self Helpless Podcast, go to selfhelplesspodcast.com for anything and everything you could want. We have our links to Patreon, merch, our individual websites, our Facebook group, Amazon link, full episodes, also our contact for a P.O. box and email. And you can follow Self Helpless Podcast on Instagram, as well as us individually. I am at T-Tom Comedy or Taylor Tomlinson, depending on if you're on Instagram or Twitter, ttomcomedy.com.
And I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
And I'm at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dicks by Delaney for some good old-fashioned dick stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Perfect. And you can also follow Self Helpless on Facebook.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Yay, we love you.
Why won't it let me be?